Join the Pop Life Podcast conversation. Follow us on Twitter at the Pop Life Podcast. Find us on iTunes at the Pop Life Podcast. Be sure to rate us, please. And find us on SoundCloud and share and like and subscribe. Thanks.
Welcome to the Pop Life Podcast, coming to you from the Crosby Collective Studio. Starring your hosts, Jeffrey Sledge, Naima Cochran, and Sean Young. If it's top of mind in pop culture, it's up for discussion. Thank you for joining us this week. The Pop Life begins in 3, 2, 1.
All right, Pop Life Podcast today. Could you close that door, please?
Sure.
Some people think they live in a barn.
Nigga, you're the last one who walked through the door.
No,
so I don't
he was.
Oh, sorry.
See, always ready to jump on me. Always ready to jump on me. Even this nigga don't blame me walking the door last.
Nigga that came in 58 minutes late.
With a ginger ale.
Yeah, with his ginger ale.
He's my snacks. Me and my ginger now.
And you know he stopped and had a conversation with a homeboy when he bought the ginger ale.
Of course.
No, but I just, you know, yeah. Check on the weather and all that and keep it going. We don't talk too long. You know what I'm saying? Today is, what's today? The 11th.
Yes.
I know. I just know that I count from because I can count for my birthday for this week. Next week.
Happy belated.
Yeah. Thank you. Belated.
You were supposed to do something. You ain't do nothing.
No, I ain't do nothing. I might still do like a little brunch next weekend just because.
You love celebrating your birthday way after the fact.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you know.
After Thanksgiving,
it'd be November. It'd be November. This nigga, like, I'm
Christmas time and my birthday combined. Yeah. You know, it was a cool day. Julian took me out to brunch.
Oh, that's nice.
And
nice.
Then I went to see Q-Tip spin that night down at some place called Esther and Carol. And I guess, I don't know where it was, like Nolita area, maybe? Mm-hmm. Apparently it's a popular place. I didn't know about it.
I don't
know.
Y'all wouldn't have
liked it though.
Why?
Cause the boy ain't get on the wheels till 2 o'clock a.m.
Oh hell no!
Exactly,
he's doing that.
Like, nigga, what?
Look at
y'all
face.
That's crazy.
2 a.m. on a Sunday.
I don't do that anymore.
I know. That's like, why I said y'all wouldn't have liked
unless
it.
Unless I had a chance to take a nap and I left my house at midnight, which even then, that no, it's probably not happening. Nah.
Well. Yeah, I said, y'all wouldn't have liked it.
What Q-Tip opened the set with?
What was the first record he played?
There was a period where he would always open his set with his own shit, and I thought that was
no, he didn't play none of his own stuff.
Okay.
It was a disco-y record.
Okay.
He played, like, a lot of disco in his set.
There was a phase, it was when he first started DJing, though, so I'll give him a pass, but he used to, like, literally open his set with Vibrant Thing. And I thought it was
He didn't do that. Okay. He didn't do that at all. But it was fun. I had a good time. So I'm trying not to be ungrateful.
Uh-oh.
Right? Because I got a lot of birthday wishes and love, and
but,
I appreciate all of them.
Oh, I know what you're about to say.
But I don't like this new thing.
The HBD shit?
HBD,
yes,
happy born day, my G, happy Earth Day.
Earth coming
to Earth Day, OG, like... Nigga, what are you talking about? Like,
well,
just
okay,
wait, happy birthday. Like, what? When did that go out of style?
So there's two different things. The HBD is wild lazy. I blame that on
it's
social media.
Wild lazy.
Or just happy B-Day or something like
that. Yeah,
like,
a lot of
take,
that.
Like, take the time to actually say birthday.
You could just type B-I-R-T and the shit will come up on your phone and hit the butt.
But the happy Earth Day and happy Born Day.
That's
but here's the thing.
I ain't no goddamn 5%.
But it's the same thing that happens kind of with rest in peace. You know that people like.
Now it's SIP, sleep in peace.
Well, when you see so many people saying the same thing over and over and over and over again, there's an urge to say something that's a little different, that's a little unique, but still conveys the same thing. So I think that's part of what you're seeing is like if you see 50-11 happy birthdays, you want to be able to say something different. You want to be able to say something unique that actually lets this person know that, like, you're really sending them genuine wishes. And
whatever, nigga. I ain't trying to hear it. I mean, I look at a happy ex birthday. I'm just reading some of the shit we wrote. Happiest of born days. A lot of APDs. Like,
APDs infuriate me. I think that's so. I think that's so rude.
Fam. What is this born day shit? Like, I'm this.
That's nigga's trying to be super black.
Yeah, like, come on. Just say happy birthday. Just say the regular shit. Just say Christmas time.
I don't want some niggas saying something.
Just say Merry Christmas. That's it. I don't need no. Or happy holidays. I don't need the fucking Kwanzaa. I don't celebrate Kwanzaa. Listen, I don't do Kwanzaa. I don't wear no kente cloth. And no soap. So what's it called? That shit? Soapstone? Yeah, exactly. I ain't wearing none. I ain't got no koofy hat and all that.
Not no koofy hat.
Regular shit.
Yo, okay. Your picture was epic, though, bro.
You're my posse hold me down with that cut, man.
Nah, you was good for it, because that
cut was kind of whack.
Nah, I mean, you know, it was a dope picture, though.
It was a good picture, but the cut was, you know,
That's funny.
Man. Posse hold me down, man. but anyway, like I said, I don't want to sound ungrateful. I appreciated all the well wishes and everything. I really did. Just like, I was just like, damn, the abbreviation thing is really starting
to... Yeah, some of that is also basic. I mean, social media has also killed any form of etiquette at all whatsoever in the digital age. And HBD is just, it's rude. It's kind of rude.
Yeah. So, anyway. So, that was my little soapbox on that. You know what I'm saying? So, we can get right on into it. We got a bunch of stuff to discuss this week. Let's start off with the Hip Hop Awards, since that was last night. Did you watch it?
I watched about 50 minutes of
okay,
it.
Okay, that's enough. Yeah. Did you watch it, Enon?
I ended up watching most of it because there was nothing else on TV from to 9 hour. And then when I was ready to turn to either Black-ish or This Is Us, I was trying to wait to see Cardi and then see the Luke tribute. And once the Luke tribute was over, the whole shit was over.
Yeah, the show was over, yeah.
And I'm 12 for that shit.
Too old for the Luke tribute?
I'm too old for the award show.
For period. Well, I have to say this.
There were a couple moments. Like, I was happy to see the Cyphers.
Yeah, the Cyphers are always... The Cyphers are the moment.
Right. The Cyphers are the moment. Even though I know Primo got to be sick and tired of having to do that shit. But, because Primo old as fuck, too. He probably like, these niggas. I was happy to see the Cyphers. And shout out to my son, who I was really happy to see him do his thing. And for those that don't know, I said this on Twitter last night. My son and Shine... Summer 98 were like the two, mm-hmm. It was like the NBA draft. Like they were the two hottest prospects in New York.
And they both ended up getting locked up.
And like my son before he could even put an album out. But like literally used to be battling, cause my son was a battle rapper.
Mm-hmm.
Sean was a little different. Like Sean was better on wax. I always felt like my son wasn't that great on wax. But was better just straight battling. But they used, like, I remember nights outside of Justin's when Puff would be like, yo, Sean and my son, like, you know, let's go, like, literally on the sidewalk on 21st Street, like,
yeah,
Sean and my son battle rapping. And yeah, like you said, they and Mice was signed to Violator and did the Violator compilation, but then got locked up before he could do his own joint. So for him to be out now, and I mean, this is a hard 20 years ago,
yeah,
so for him to be out now. You know, he does a lot of, he's doing a lot of social activism work with the New York Justice League.
Yeah, but he's really, like, into, like, trying to help kids and...
Him and Chi Ali both, who also
did a long stretch,
but, like,
yeah,
for murder, like, from real talk. But him and
he was on the run. Chi Ali was on the run for a while.
Like, the fact that he's even on the street is a blessing. Yeah. But also, both these niggas look like they're the same age they were 20 years ago, which is a blessing for them.
They do.
They're healthy. They took care of themselves.
They do.
So, just to see Mice back in the mix, I don't see him in this day and age getting with a major at all, but there's enough out there now in this environment that he can still
His flex
make his
freestyle
voice
was crazy
heard
too,
and do his thing.
Yeah, no, he still got it.
Yeah.
So, I like the definitely like the side was, I mean, the biggest splash was the Eminem freestyle about
which
Trump.
Is like, it was dope, but it was dope. But I'm really tired of seeing it being talked about now. 24 hours later.
Well, it's M. He's the biggest.
I know.
You'll see. He's going to be talked about because he's the biggest.
Like,
you know,
shit is on the news.
I think it was. I think it was. You know, it was a lot of shock value.
And he white.
That's what it really was. I mean, it was definitely a little hard to catch at first. You know, obviously he's not rapping to a beat.
And he was making those long pauses.
He was making a political message. Mm-hmm. Like, make no mistake about it. So, I mean, I get it. Listen, I think some people were over... I think there was a lot of overreaction on both extremes.
Yeah.
You had some people that was like, oh my God, this is the best thing since sliced bread.
Right.
He's woke. And da 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 da. Like, you know, saying, you know, fuck Donald Trump isn't really that...
radical.
Oh my God.
Right.
And then two, you had the other dudes, oh, that shit was whack, and, you know, it was like,
it wasn't whack.
Yeah, you know.
Niggas is dumb.
Listen, I didn't even bother with that, because I was like, look, you niggas go and see.
Eminem's overrated.
Go,
get the fuck out of here.
You know, look. You
like, look, I mean, like, this raw skill and execution.
You got to give him his props.
come on, B, what are we talking about here? You know what I'm saying? You can have your choices and pick other people.
I'll put it to you like this. Most of the people that I've seen say he was whack were either failed rappers or still trying to be
still
rappers.
Trying to be on.
Or I saw some people who were like, oh, the bar is so low for our allies, blah, blah, blah. And those are just the people who hate anything that anybody not black does. And I'm like, we ask white people to use their
and then
voices,
he did it, and then he's beefing.
And y'all like, oh,
that ain't enough.
Say, fuck
that ain't
me.
Enough.
Yeah, but also, I guess my thing was, I thought his freestyle was dope. I didn't think it fucking broke the internet. It exploded. Like, it was, oh my God, stop the world. Like, fucking Keith Olbermann or whatever his name is, who used to be a
Keith Olbermann
commentator, is like, after years of not liking Eminem, oh my God, best political commentary of the moment, period. No, it's not. You know what I mean? But also, it's not radical, period. It's also not radical coming from M. Like, it's not like that should have been surprising. It's not like, oh my God, I can't believe Eminem did that. Like, it's not radical even. It's like, this is par, something like this is par for the course for M, right?
Yeah.
And it's like, but it's also, I mean, I guess some people are going to see it. Is it going to change some little Trump supporters' kids' minds? Like, I don't know. But, it was dope, and I guess that was the Hip Hop Awards trying to have, like, their moment, their political moment
that,
or whatever.
Yeah, they definitely did.
But it wasn't, like, I don't still need to be seeing it on MSNBC at 7 o'clock tonight.
Well, of course you are, because
that's my thing.
Well, of course
he's white.
Yeah, because, and he's Eminem.
Like, right.
He's a recluse.
Exactly.
A recluse. He doesn't come
so
out.
So he pops
out. Don't get a lot of him.
True.
And that's really what this is about. If he was out here, if he was still making albums every 18 months.
He was around.
And he was around doing shows. You saw him on shows and doing guest appearances. I don't think the fervor would be what it is.
Yeah.
But I think that because it was almost like he kind of came out
to do this. Exactly.
Specifically.
Exactly.
And so I think that that's what people are sort of wrapped into. And listen, is that fair? Sure. You know, is it groundbreaking? No. Was it whack? Not in the least. I think, you know, there's no space for even keeled, nuanced conversation. None.
Yeah. It's black or white.
It's like, oh my God. Like, that's why a lot of this shit, I don't even.
You'd be falling out.
I just, yo, man, I saw so much shit on Facebook where I was like, okay, I'm gonna leave that alone.
So, I liked it. Like I said, I liked it a lot. I really liked, I liked the girl cipher. I liked the girl Cash Out.
I like the girl.
Cash Doll.
Yeah.
I liked her. She looked, I thought it was Remy when she was standing back. Is it Remy?
She's very New York. That's when I had the fur on.
Yeah, but she's from Detroit, actually.
Okay, yeah, I can see that, too.
She's from the D, yeah.
She kind of looked like Kiva to me a little bit.
Yeah, first. Yeah.
I was
got
like,
the Kiva.
Yeah, the
Kiva.
Yeah. is that brown skin girl?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think she was. She's from Detroit.
From the D, yeah.
I think she performed at the Escape Show.
I'm sure she did because she's really big out there.
No,
she's big out there. Yeah.
Okay.
So I liked her.
I actually thought.
And I know, like, you know, Shea Butter Twitter might get a little upset at me, but I didn't necessarily like the Rhapsody freestyle. Cause I know she's the hot new wave online, and her album is cool. But I just thought that she was trying too hard, and I saw her trying hard. Like
she was trying to do this,
and it was like, just relax, shorty. Like you ain't gotta jump out the window. And I really liked the last freestyle, which was T Grizzly, the kid who sings,
oh yeah,
someone else killed that one too, but T Grizzly and Black were like, someone else freestyle that was dope too, I'm sorry I'm forgetting, but it was excellent. The last one was really, really good. The show lacks star power, show in and of itself,
like, I mean, their biggest stars were
Cardi.
Blue, Cardi, and Gucci, I guess, if you even... But Cardi,
I mean,
really...
Yeah, I'm not even going with counting Gucci.
And the performances, like, even Cardi's performance, the performance itself, the setup, the staging, the energy was great. But, like, can we turn the tracks down? I know that not all rappers can rap over tracks. Like, Playboi Carti went a whole verse where he wasn't even bothering to hold the mic up to his mouth. It was like, whatever.
Yeah, like, whatever.
That nigga was just, like, conducting the stage. I'm just gonna walk around. Whatever the fuck. I do think that, what's my down in DMs, man?
Yo Gotti.
Gotti's track was low. Like, I could hear Gotti rapping. Maybe because
he's Gotti's a professional.
Yeah, but he's professional. But I think Cardi could have gone without the track. Like, I couldn't. Cardi was rapping two track, but her track was so loud.
I also think Cardi's probably still a little not always secure about doing that in front of that you know, artists and stuff like that.
Right.
But you know, look, you know, God bless. Luke got his propers finally and let us know
and
that
let
he
us
had never got
know.
His propers.
Luke was basically like, fuck all y'all. I started this shit.
Yeah.
Y'all kiss my ass.
That nigga was full
y'all can kiss my ass.
Yeah.
I did all this shit.
And y'all fuck niggas
that.
Know it.
Y'all ain't never thanked me for shit. Y'all ain't calling me for shit. I went to the Supreme Court. Y'all ain't fucking send me a goddamn edible arrangement. Not nothing.
Nothing. So I'm glad he got his propers last night.
And Khaled gave his own fucking acceptance speech for Luke,
well,
which was hilarious.
That's what Khaled does. God bless Khaled. Right. But, you know, overall, you know, hip hop wars kind of is what it is, man. You know, it's
I just don't know, especially as the BET Awards skew more into that lane.
Oh, which lane do you call it?
That younger hip hop, like,
oh, okay.
You know, half the BET Awards this year could have been this fucking hip hop awards, not for nothing.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
So that's what I'm saying. As the BET Awards kind of veer more into this direction, I don't know. Like, I think the hip hop awards are going to have to fight to stay.
Relevant.
Or a unique, like a unique.
Yeah, because the big
thing.
Rappers, like a Lil Uzi Vert or a Future,
they're gonna be,
whatever,
they're
like, nah, I'm gonna go in June.
Yeah,
you know, to the big show. I'm not
right.
going to.
I'm not doing
to
this
Miami
shit.
To go to some small show.
Yeah,
I'm just gonna
JV.
Wait and go.
They filmed in Miami.
Yes, this year was Miami. That's why Luke and them was all there.
Okay.
Yeah, it was that's why I saw Miami based Trina, Luke, Khaled. That was all. They filmed it in Miami this year, but I heard that they're not probably gonna go back to. For some reason, they didn't do Atlanta. It was a reasoning behind. I can't remember. But I heard they're probably not going to do Miami again because, you know, the weather's too janky.
Yeah.
It's time of year.
Not just the weather's too janky. It's the fucking shitload of money.
Yeah. That too.
It's a lot of expenses when you have to pay for. I'm talking about behind the camera.
Fuck, I got you. I got you.
Like, that's a lot
putting
of hotel rooms.
Yeah.
Yeah, you at know. Premium prices. I think part of the problem with Atlanta was around the time they taped this, there's a lot happening in Atlanta. Like, almost every year they're going up against either, like, a classic or, like, a Falcons game.
Yeah, I think somebody told me something was happening in Atlanta.
Like, the last year, I want to say there were, like, three other major things happening in Atlanta the same weekend as the Hip Hop Awards. And it's probably just
the month of October in Atlanta is crazy because you got all the homecoming.
Because that's why I asked because I was like, oh, Justin didn't hit me.
That's why.
He
wasn't there.
Yeah.
He wasn't even in the city. Oh. Sidebar, going back to what you're saying about just niggas being fools. Well, I don't want to, fool is for the second thing I'm going to say. Since it's friend to the room to the first one, I'm retracting the fool statement.
Okay.
But Kelly and now Bomani then got on the damn Twitter and been slandering Luther Vandross.
Kelly been
Bomani did it
Luther
last
Vandross.
Night.
I know.
Bomani jumped on last night, and then
and
Kelly saw that shit and turned it up.
Listen,
I'll be like, Kelly, you going Kelly and Anita Baker. I'm Kelly, you gonna stop.
And
gonna stop.
Well, and then a bunch of people jumped in and added Sade to that shit.
Nigga.
And I was like, what the fuck is wrong with y'all?
Nigga. Y'all can talk and laugh about me being the old nigga all you want, okay? Y'all gonna cut the shit with Luther, okay?
Right.
Acting like he was a bum.
Like, seriously.
Yeah.
Come on, it ain't slap. No, nigga, it's not supposed to slap,
it's
okay?
Yeah, exactly.
Like,
exactly.
I was blown away.
And
then,
but
honestly, too, and I fucks with Bomani, but I've heard several.
Oh, Bomani's music shit is funny stuff.
He's elitist.
Yo, nigga.
It's very elitist.
When he talked about face,
I
was like, okay, I checked out on him. I think he's a little hoity-toity with the music shit.
Definitely.
Yes. And I was just like, okay, this is going to be where I bow out on listening to you about music.
Yeah, his music shit is really...
And God bless.
Yeah, no hate, but just Bomani's music opinions are definitely a little, like, word fam.
Right.
And then me and Kelly just go back and forth about this all the time.
Kelly hates
everything. You're going to stop. With this.
And Kelly, she needs to stop acting like, nigga, you was 20 when Luther was out. Like, you old nigga.
You know what it
you
is.
Know what it
you
is,
know exactly
nigga.
What it is.
God
you know exactly what it is. Obviously, everybody knows I am an old head and an old music soul, but I don't even think that's it. Because, like, for example, I can acknowledge Anita's greatness, and I don't even listen to Anita like that. Like, it's been a long time since I was like, there's an Anita Baker song that I need to listen to, but I'm not gonna diss her. But then there was niggas like Josen, fucking Imani, jumping in talking about Sade, and I was like,
come on, now y'all just,
and listen,
Josen talking about
there's a difference.
Sade is nap music, nigga, what?
There's a difference between not really fucking with somebody's music and then just like shitting on the catalog. Like, slow down. Yeah, exactly. Let's relax.
Stop
here.
It.
Okay, this is why you niggas can't get a good tribute going. Okay, because exactly, you keep shitting on good singers.
Exactly.
Since Gerald, God bless him, since Gerald LaVert died, nigga, ain't been a good tribute on not near walk show. It's dragged Gerald out. Gerald was basically doing all the tribute.
Everybody. Right.
Every award right. show, nigga.
And like Tyrese could, but nobody want to fuck with him. Well, so it's like, you gotta see y'all, you know, yeah, but this is like, I'm like,
put box
and then somebody was like, well, Sade's not a strong vocalist. And I'm like, her music is not designed
and her vocal tone is so unique.
But it's also perfect for her production.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah. Like, her music is not meant for, like, big, full, round,
yeah, she
like,
shouldn't be singing on no Jammin' Lewis track.
Yeah.
But stop it. Like, this,
yeah.
Like, we're not gonna talk about Sade. Like, no. That's not part of the equation.
Nigga, I was when they said the shit about Luther, nigga, yeah. My pressure was up. Nigga, yeah. I was like, what?
And the thing with Luther, their argument is that they agree Luther can sing, they just don't find his music interesting. And I'm like, okay. But no, still no. Like, I mean, and I guess my love of Luther's catalog, I guess first comes because it was played in my house so much. But I think also because I know how much of his own input Luther had into his music, his arrangements, his everything. That's what makes
that's me.
That's
what I was getting ready to say.
Like, this Luther wasn't just did all of this shit.
Nigga, Luther did all that shit. Like, yeah. Luther's your he's your favorite, my right. nigga. When they needed, when your queen Aretha needed to get popping,
she called
Luther, so, nigga, and got yeah. jumped to it, nigga.
Yeah.
And got jumped to it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
That's what I'm saying. I'm mad at these niggas. I ain't, listen. Second, now these niggas is fool, or to me, these is fools. So I saw a thing online where a guy met his dad after 37 years.
Oh, I saw that. And just, like, broke down.
Just broke down, crying from the depth of his soul, right? And I understand that. Well, I went online. Everybody's like, oh, beautiful moment. It's blessings. And look at the power of a black man. And then I was like, this is some bullshit right here. This nigga was gone for 37 years. Yeah. I'm not giving this nigga no pass.
Right.
Now, I understand the son being, you know,
well, I think that's what it was. People were applauding, not applauding, but more reacting to the vulnerability and the raw emotion of the son, but also trying to say, like, this is how important, like, a father is. You know, I don't think there was so much applauding that old nigga just showed up.
Showed up. Like, did you see it, bro?
No.
The nigga just, they like in a parking lot. The nigga just,
like, literally,
the nigga just gets out the car.
We have no idea what the story is.
No backstory. It starts with him getting out the car.
We see a car door open.
And the man says, come on now, come on. And the guy, like, literally almost goes to his knees, almost.
Yeah.
And he's like leaning on the car.
Like Ayanla crying.
Yeah, and then just from the gut, bawling. Now, again, I'm not disrespecting or saying that man shouldn't have felt that way. But I'm just like, yo, where you been? Where you been for 40 years?
Yeah.
Where you been?
Yeah.
So, whatever. That's some bullshit.
Yeah.
Let's go on. Matter of fact, since you mentioned, let's go on in Ayama. Fix my life. So, this week was, we hadn't seen this before. So,
yeah.
This week was, and there's more parts.
I think
there's two, maybe
one.
Three.
Right.
So, she's talking to men who have been sexually abused.
Yeah.
It's five of them altogether.
Which I think, just to interject, I think is such an important topic, because Oprah, they alluded to in this part, Oprah did a show on it while she was still on the air.
Yeah, because that the dude, one of the guys,
was the producer,
came, yeah,
mm-hmm. with an audience full of,
yeah,
full of, the whole audience, men who have been abused, and I think,
crazy,
especially in the black, I mean, period, but especially in the black community.
Yes, yeah, this taboo, we ain't nobody saying nothing.
Yeah, we don't talk about it, and the statistic that Ayanla repeated, which I'd heard before but actually forgotten, 1 in 6 boys, period. Not even just black boys. 1 in 6 boys are sexually abused before the age of 18. And black boys are twice as likely as white boys to be abused before the age of 18. So just think about that. Think about that. And I know personally, I know a couple of black men who have admitted to me that they were sexually abused.
And how do they act?
Well, with one of them, with both of them explaining certain behaviors to me, because one of them is damn near asexual. Like, people were kind of like, is he gay? Is he not? But to me, it wasn't even a gay thing. It was like,
You just didn't want to touch nobody. Really touch him like that.
He didn't want to be bothered. Yeah. Not even touch him, but like he would be. He was affectionate. He would hug. He would do all stuff. But every time he was dating somebody, he quickly came up with an excuse
to back out.
Why it didn't really work. And he wasn't even actively like, yo, I need a wife. I want to get married. I want to settle down. It was kind of like, I don't want to be bothered. But I also didn't get gay from him either.
I got you. And he just had a line he couldn't cross.
Yeah, and when he told me about his abuse, like, to me, it's like a light went on in my head. I was like, that's it. You know, and with the other one, it was actually somebody that I dated. And
how was that?
Well, I mean, it explained some issues we were having.
Sexually?
Sexually, because I had attributed, I felt like he didn't have a clear understanding of like how sex can switch up and be different and whatever. Like I attributed it to him watching too much porn, I don't want to go into more detail than that, but that kind of explains it, right?
Gotcha.
But putting that together with him experiencing abuse as a child. And some things that he would say, some things he would kind of want to play out, it like kind of made a little bit more sense to me.
Okay.
Because I just felt like, and part of me was also like, well, I've had more partners than he has, and maybe it's this, and maybe it's that. Like, I was trying to figure out the disconnect, and I would literally say to him, like, I need you to do this, or I need you to not do that, or I need you, and it just like could not penetrate. And I just think that his relationship with sex was just really...
It was fucked up.
Because
of what happened to him.
Right. So, And those are just the ones I know. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And the ones who told me. We've made it so taboo, or we've made it a thing like, I think that we only think that men are sexually abused if it was a man. If there was a grown woman who came at you when you were a kid, it's a dap. You know what I mean?
Yo.
It's like,
first
yo.
Time I had a,
yeah, I was 14. She was 27.
12, and she was like my babysitter. She was 19.
Yeah, like, no, nigga, that was molestation. Yeah, like, you were raped. Yeah, so I think that's also part of it, right?
Yeah.
Like, why we don't have the conversation for real. But I'm sorry, go ahead. So you have these
guys. Yeah, so you got these five, I think it's five guys, five or six, I think it's five, you know, different walks of life. Four of them said they were gay.
Yeah.
The one cat who has a West Indian accent, he didn't say if
either
he was...
Either way, but
and Ayanna didn't ask him. She asked the other guys. She just, for some reason, didn't ask him.
Or maybe that was edited out.
Maybe.
I feel like he probably is, though.
Yeah. But I thought it was interesting that... And Ayanna said this. She said, like, I thought it was interesting that all of them were gay and have been abused. And then she said to them, do you think... You became gay because you were abused, or were you abused because you was gay? I thought that was a very interesting question.
Yeah, and I don't know that she asked that for there to be a right answer. I don't think there is a right answer. I think it's more just like, how are you processing it?
Yeah.
Because one of them didn't even want to say he was gay.
Yeah, like, and he was the most feminine one of all
of
them.
Yeah, and he was like, I don't want to say that. I don't like to say I love people. And she was like, bruh,
yeah, like, it's a straight question, bruh, the way you, even just the way you move
yeah,
in, like
it's
come
a straight
on,
question.
Fam.
The other thing I found really interesting is that at least three of them became sex workers. In part because of...
It was the West Indian
because he was saying something later when the Oprah producer came about how was it him or the guy sitting next
no,
to him?
No, it was the other guy the one whose brother abused him.
No, that was the guy sitting on the couch with the light skinned dude.
Yes.
But there was at least one dude on the other couch
that said
who
it too.
Said the same thing. He was like, I can identify with that.
No, I think it
might have
been the big dude.
Okay,
the brother guy.
He was like, I can identify with
that
too.
Yeah, I think you're right. No,
And I mean, the fact of the matter is that if you look, if you trace back to origins of most sex work, it starts with some kind of molestation or abuse.
Yeah.
And maybe that either that abuser turning that person out onto the street and putting them on the street, or the abused person being more vulnerable to that because of their because
that's
abuse.
the way the flamboyant I'm sorry for getting all their names but
right.
The way the flamboyant guy described it, that's what it sounded like. He got abused by this guy who then put him on the street,
right? And he said he also admitted that he was lacking something in his home life.
Yeah,
so the guy was kind of like, listen, you can make this kind of money, I could do this kind of thing. Like, he just turned him out basically.
And that dude, that the flamboyant cat, when he started crying, his shit was
that
like
was real.
Some,
you could tell he'd been bottling that up for
yeah that
really
shit
was
that
time.
Was like years of shit coming
that
out.
Was a lot of shame. That was a lot of
so
shame.
Just a really interesting, I mean, we're not gonna get into all the details of the show, but it was just a really interesting show to watch. Yeah. Like,
And there's one dude who's so angry.
Yeah. The guy who got abused as a child, and then he got raped in the military.
And he didn't even want to call it rape. He was like, I had a military sexual traumatic experience. Yeah, like, he called it an acronym. An acronym for it. Yeah. He didn't even want to say, like, I was raped. He was like, I had a military
He was mean.
He was so angry. And, I mean, he was so reactionary to Ayala. And what Ayala was saying wasn't even, like, anything like, crazy, right? And, but you can tell, like, he's angry about this. And I also found it interesting that when she was asking him, why did this happen to you? He was like, because I was stupid. So he's also blaming himself. Who's walled it off because he's blaming himself. Mm-hmm. Or he's trying to rationalize it away. And I think there's some part of him that just can't open up to go through this process. Like, he's determined that the process has to go a certain way. You know, and it looks like next episode is really, there's a lot of him. Like,
yeah, a lot of him, her trying to get to him. So. Yeah. I mean, it's really intense, it's heavy. But I suggest watching it. I wanted to mention this Dove Soap ad.
Oh, yeah.
So Dove Soap has an ad where there's several women of different shades. And they're, like, wearing T-shirts that kind of match whatever shade they are. And then they pull the T-shirt over their head.
And it's someone of another shade, a lighter shade. Well,
because the black girl
turned into a lighter shade, but then when the white girl pulled her shirt over, there was darker, like a Filipina or a Latin or something like that. So it's really about, I guess, but it also would have been equally fucked up if they had made it from black to brown to white or white. Like, there's really no way they could have really
could if you if so the let's talk about it. So the controversy of the ad is the black woman pulls a shirt, she has a natural fro and all that, right. She pulls the shirt over her head, which is, you know, a darker brown shirt, and underneath her shirt she basically turns to a white woman,
right?
But kind of like what Michael was doing that in
the black or white
video.
Yeah.
And so the people caught that screenshotted that, you know, gift that part, and then it was like, yo, Dove is basically turning black women into white women.
Or now, suggesting that using, like,
yeah, using
black
Dove
women, suggesting that black
white.
Women are dirty.
Exactly.
And a white woman
is
clean.
You're dirty. Once you use Dove, you clean yourself and you become white. Right. So, first thing I was wondering, if they would have went white to black, or is this commercial just a bad idea?
I think the commercial, like, I get what they were trying
now,
to
how
do.
How did it get that far? Ain't nobody, even white folks, nobody was like,
I think
they needed more women to play that out. Because if you just have three women who are three different ethnicities, it's way too easy for this to just be read the wrong way.
What are you
going to
say, bro?
I think that Dove has a bit of a history.
They do, which is the other problem.
Being insensitive. And I think that's why people, because a lot of this was not in context. It was not presented, I would say, in its full context.
You mean online?
Online.
Right.
Agreed.
The way it was presented was 1-2.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
That was
white,
it.
Black to white.
Where, yeah. And that wasn't exactly it. However, watching it in full context,
it wasn't much better.
Right.
And then when you go in and you start to see that in this happened in like 2011.
Yeah, it's happened a few times.
And then they had one ad where it was like
the before and after.
The before and after was one, and it was like white is purity or something like that. And then it was one shampoo they had or something like that, or lotion or something that said for normal to dark skin.
Yeah.
So this is not about them, you know, like fucking up one time.
Right.
There's a history here.
Right. And I think that when you are in advertising and when you are, you know, operating like this in a company, I think that, yes, it is vital for you to understand the history of advertising, right? This is why not just having, you know, black folks or young black folks or people of color, if you will, you need to have people who are those people who are experienced in life, who understand that.
Right.
Because a 25-year-old woman may not have gotten that.
Right.
But a 45-year-old
would have been like, hold up.
Or
hold
even just, Or even just a room full of white people may miss it because there are certain nuances that people really don't get until you bring it to their attention.
Or because they don't,
they don't have to think about that.
Yeah, they don't have to look through a history book and when they're trying to find out about history, see these ads of soap
and bleaching soap and all that. Skin,
or understanding the Caribbean's obsession with lightening their skin.
Or lighter skin being attributed to being more beautiful if you're a person of color,
and that's a part of it as well. And that's what I'm saying. I don't think they have people who are operating with cultural nuances and advertising jargon and understanding the landscape.
Right.
You know, especially now. There has never been, you know, barring the 60s, my nigga, like over the last 30 years, there has never been a more tense racial time than right now.
Right.
So the fact that
the internet just magnifies it.
Like that no one, that you guys had run that all the way up the flagpole. And then the young lady who was in the ad, she wrote, you know, something saying, you know, she didn't see it as such. She didn't that's not how it was presented, which led me to go and say, hey, let me go look at the context of this. And then I saw that there was another woman after the white woman.
And that's the thing. But like you said, there was and I saw that when I finally went to see the ad, because I heard, meaning saw, all the dust up first. And then I saw some memes and then I went and watched the ad because I was like, I don't even know what they're talking about. But I knew that Dove had done this a couple times before. And I think that was the thing that Dove put out an apology, but it was a very general apology, just kind of like, oh, it wasn't our intention, I'm sorry. But people's thing was kind of like, to Sean's point, but you've done this before. Mm-hmm. Like, one of the other ads was, and some of it is just really poor positioning, but again, these are things that it really could have really easily been fixed had you just thought about a little bit. There was an ad where there was like, let's say you're kind of standing in front of a gallery wall. Let's say there's three women standing in front of a gallery wall. On one side of the gallery wall is a picture of really dry skin that says before. And on the other side of the gallery wall is a picture of like glowing luminous skin that says after. But the way the women are positioned, the black woman is front in front of the before.
She's the ashy.
And then there's another one. And then there's a white woman in front of the after. Yes. So you could just say,
got lighter.
Yeah, you could just say, we were just positioning the women there to show that they're W users. We weren't saying that they reflect the before to after spectrum. But the optics are, oh, you're suggesting that this is the before lighter to after spectrum. Which is the same thing with this commercial, right? So, like I said, maybe if it had been like six women and you switched all the cultures up and there had been two black women and two white women and you could have changed it up a little bit, it wouldn't have been like that. But with just three women, no matter how you did it, it would have looked a little crazy. If you had gone from white to dark, if you had gone from dark, you know, and then put the Latina in the middle and then gone away. Like, no matter how you did it, it was going to look crazy.
But that's interesting, right? Because the thing that comes to mind is there would have never been a case where it would have gone from a white woman to a brown woman to a black woman.
Mm. Nobody would have ever done that.
That mistake would have never been made. That's the issue, right? Like, if you can tell me that at some point in your history, right, like you can show me your advertising and say, you know, this is what happened here. You know, look, I'm also not going to... was this a mistake? Look, I don't know. I don't work at Dove. I don't fucking know the culture.
I got some questions, goddammit.
I don't work at Dove. I don't know the culture. But they have a history here. And I think that they need to accept that they have a history here and figure out how to not have this happen again.
I got two things. First of all, do niggas use Dove?
Yes,
black people do.
Yes. They have several.
They have bar?
No. Nobody uses bar. Well, nobody I know uses bar.
There you go.
But Dove makes...
But Dove has everything.
Dove makes everything.
They got the body wash. And they got
they make men's. They make men's. I use
do sometimes
men's
have
stuff.
The bar soap.
I buy my products from
I do sometimes have the bar soap when I travel.
I buy my product from Afterman on 26th Street.
Just soap in plastic wrap?
I have gotten that before. The black soap in the plastic, but now I don't do that as much as I used to. But my thing is, look, we get into the space because of Trump's America and where things are going in this country. To me, where certain things, look, certain battles we just gonna have to start picking because there's too many battles.
Right.
And I saw this and I understand people upset by it. I get it. I'm not saying it wasn't a foul thing. But I'm like, look, man, just don't buy no Dove and just keep it moving. Like, just their apology was bullshit. It's going to be bullshit. They're probably going to do something again within the next 6 to 8 months. So, like, I get it. But, you know, we talked about this many times on this show about people on Twitter waiting for something to be outraged about. Doug gave him an alley-oop.
Yeah.
But I'm just like, it is fucked up, but, like, what are we doing here?
I think people are, you know, hypersensitive.
Very much so.
I also think that this is... These sorts of things now, because it provides jobs and for content creators.
Yes.
That's another reason why there's a bit of fanning the flame, I would say.
Yes.
And do I think that the reaction was, I mean, look, on my timeline, it's very hard to tell. I try to follow, you know, mature adults.
Right.
Who have...
I'm not laughing on that one.
No, I'm
serious. Mature adults on the timeline.
I try to follow mature adults who have reasoning.
Right? I don't be seeing them.
But you know, so for the most part, you know, like my timeline wasn't irate with this.
It was a couple hits,
and it was like, I don't use that shit no way. Anywho.
I'd be looking for the mature adults on the Twitter, and sometimes it's hard to find. Anyways, I don't use Dove. I use some soap from Africa.
the whole of Africans.
Yeah, he know me. It's weird, me and my man, because I don't know his name. He don't know my name. We ain't even said more than 15, 20 words, and I've been going to this cat a smooth 15 years, and we just say hi.
Hey,
he know me. I know him. You know him. You know what I'm saying? He give me a little discount once in the blue moon, and we keep it moving. So, I, you know, whatever your name is, sir. God bless you. Peace to you. Bobby Christina movie.
I ain't watched that.
I watched about 27 minutes of it.
Oh, TV One, man. I love TV One. It's so black. It's so Southern Jackson, Mississippi black. So they did a movie on Bobby Christina, came on, actually the night of my birthday, Sunday night. I watched it before I went to go see Tip's ass at 2 in the morning. It came on at 7 o'clock, which I guess is great programming, because that audience that they're trying to get, that's a good time for them.
I think they replayed at 9 as well.
Yeah, they did replay at 9, but the first one was on at 7. And, you know, for like, you know, Aunt Pam and, you know,
Miss Gladys
and all them. That's 7 o'clock is good. They watch a movie while they, you know, rolling their hair and got on the house coat.
Greasing their scalp.
Yeah, they got on the house coat, you know, and the house shoes. Obviously the movie was taken off from headlines and kind of innuendo. It wasn't, nobody in the family participated in the writing or the film. I thought Demetria McKinney was great as Whitney Houston. She sounds like Whitney when she sings.
Should I know who that is?
Demetria McKinney was on Real Housewives for one season. She was the one that was dating Roger Bob, Tyler Perry's. And she's the one who used to be on House of Pain.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, she can imitate Whitney Houston like great.
Right.
So
I think she's talented.
Yeah, she is talented. Mm-hmm. So she and even her mannerisms and her talking, like she did the best Whitney impersonation, for lack of a better term, that I've seen of any Whitney ever. Anything. Mm-hmm. She nailed it.
Right.
Like the talking, like everything. Miss Vivica Fox played Pat Houston. I really saw Pat. I mean Vivica. I didn't see a lot of Pat. You know, in it. Yeah. The little girl who played Bobby.
I mean, does anybody really have, like, enough to go on to play?
To make Pat? No.
Yeah,
no, because like, Pat's also very kind of bland and even.
Right.
Well, publicly, anyway. I thought the little girl who played Bobby Chris was pretty good.
So I guess I gotta go back and watch it.
I mean, you know, look, is it a great movie? Absolutely not. But you know what? If this is Sunday and it's raining,
it's might perfect. As well, right?
Yeah. You laying there, you know, eating on some Chips Ahoy, you ain't got nothing else to do. It's perfect. So it trended. I haven't looked up the ratings. I don't know what the ratings have been. I'm assuming the ratings probably would have a decent, because it wasn't, also wasn't nothing else on,
right?
But football. So Sunday night, 7 o'clock, for Black America, you got them. You know what I'm saying? Good or bad, they was going to watch the movie. But, you know, what'd you think about the 27 minutes you watched, though, bro?
Listen, I have an issue with movies done in poor taste.
Nice. Especially okay. Yeah, you were salty about this from the door.
Especially about people who are dead, who are not able to speak.
Right. And defend themselves.
And defend themselves. Mm-hmm. I just have a very difficult time with that. And I feel like this is one of those things where, one, I still feel like this is very fresh.
Mm-hmm.
And
well, it
I feel
is.
Like they were so focused on, you know, capturing the audience of this being fresh.
Right.
That they really sort of rushed this. It looked a little all over the place.
Mm.
From what little I watched. You know, look, I don't know Bobby. I watched a bit of it. It showed him as, you know, a really shit dad. When I watched all of these other documentaries where I see actual footage of him interacting with his daughter, he does not look like a shit dad.
No.
You know what I'm saying? Not when I say a shit dad, I mean in comparison to what we know for him to be.
Yeah, I got you.
And I just felt like it was cheap. I felt like TV One really took a fucking cheap route. And it was just, you know, I watched the movie and it's just like, this is poorly done. It's poorly executed.
It's very dark. Wasted.
Yes, it's literally dark.
That's what I'm saying. I was dark. Like, I can't really see what Bobby Christian in that room.
Exactly. And it was just weird. It was choppy.
Right.
You know, they were trying to import dates and things of that nature. And I was just like, look, you know, God bless these folks, but, you know, I understand they're actors. And
again, they gotta eat.
I feel like they wasted a performance with Demetria, right? Like that. This could have actually been
something for her
had they really, you know, made a movie. Yeah.
But I'm also just like, did we need? Did the streets?
No,
this?
No.
The streets didn't need it.
Nobody was asking for this.
No. We're still waiting on that damn DeBarge movie that's supposed to be smoke, that we keep hearing about. Like, what's up with that?
You got, it's about 19 DeBarges.
$4 billion of the, you know,
that's what I'm
the
saying.
Kids and all
it's,
that.
It's right. All of them.
It's everybody got to get a cut. A lot of people sign off on.
Everybody got to get a cut.
True.
You know what I'm saying?
Your mama's still alive too, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah, so she got to eat.
Everybody got to get a cut now.
But I want to, I mean, look, I'm looking here. The course of the night, the overall viewership was 2.2 million, so I guess that's really not that great.
I mean,
but for TV One, it's okay.
Well, I don't know what it cost for them. I don't know the financials, what they did with advertising and any of that sort of stuff. So that's really that's how you sort of base the success on. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But like, you know, look, God bless TV One, but I just thought it was,
It was raggedy.
It was cheap.
It was raggedy. And I ain't gonna lie, it was raggedy.
Like, I've seen better, in that little 27 minutes that I watched, like, I've seen better shit on, like, Brown Sugar app with like these stage plays,
right?
Like I'd rather watch like Christian Keys and Jason Weaver and do some shit.
Niggas and Jason Weaver.
You know, I mean, it was just
niggas and Jason Weaver. I want to mention Jason Weaver. I want to mention these California fires, which are like they're like in towns.
The worst.
They're like in towns. They're like in like little cities.
Yeah,
like,
not
like,
in the woods.
Yeah, they're like. People's whole towns are getting burned down.
Yeah, they're saying it's in Northern California, wine country.
Yes.
But people are, like, Sonoma and all that, but people are saying
Calistoga and all that.
About to be the worst histories in the worst fires in the history of California, which is a lot, saying that there's always wildfires in California.
Yeah, I've been reading.
And really, I feel like it's not, I mean, it's getting coverage, but I feel like it's not the coverage it should be.
But I think I think you're right, but I think it's just because, again, with your man in office, he's throwing so much shit at the wall daily that stuff like this happened. Like think about it. Puerto Rico is basically out the news.
Yeah.
It's not over.
It's only in the news in terms of Trump lying about it.
Exactly, but it's not like it's still horrific over there. Like it ain't like, oh, everything's fixed up, they cool.
Yeah.
But it's like it's out of the news. The British Virgin Islands, US Virgin Islands never even got in the news.
Because,
again, your man's just throwing so much shit against the wall. And I think that's what we're seeing here with the reflection of these California wildfires. Like, there's just so many other stories. They can't cover them all. But I'm reading on here online. It says that they've charred about 170,000 acres of land, destroyed or damaged at least 3,500 structures, and forced at least 20,000 residents to evacuate. And the fires are still going. Right. I saw some stuff online today. There's a couple cats were talking about they live in Oakland, and they and you can smell the smoke.
Wow.
Yeah. All like all throughout the Bay Area, you're smelling smoke as you just walk around outside. So even though the fires are, you know, like a few, you know, several miles away, it's that harsh. You know, like there's a state emergency in Napa and Sonoma. And, you know, and those are also very people who don't know, those are extremely popular sites for people to go visit for the wine, for the vineyards and stuff. So like there's money being lost, there's 7,000 people without power in just Napa County alone. Like, it's craziness.
Right.
Like, and they, you know, these houses that are getting burned down are like really expensive homes.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, not that it makes it better or worse, but these are like big ass cribs. So I just wanted to mention it because it's horrible and doesn't look like it's going to end for the next couple of days at least. Yeah. They want to talk about, I just want to mention Released. Did you watch that this week?
No, I still haven't watched it. I still need to catch it.
Yeah. Well, they just, this week was the first, kind of like the first episode of the season. The first episode was more like a, wasn't like a preview, but this was the first start of the season. So they went back and visited some of the people from the first episode and introduced a couple of, new people as well. And again, it shows on OWN. It's about people getting out of jail, and their struggle to stay straight, stay clean, and, like, you know, immerse themselves back into society. Mm-hmm. This is a really interesting show because it's really raw. You know, they show, you know, people are happy to come home, but, like, hey, man, because these people are coming out. They've been locked up for, like, 18 years, 15 years. Yeah. Like, right. Not no
different world. They come into a different world.
Different planet. They don't know what's going on. Like, they don't. They don't know how to use phones. It's like, you know, so it was an interesting show. I just wanted to mention it.
I'll check it out.
I want to talk about Jemele Hill.
Yes, mm-hmm. We should.
Yeah, we will, brother.
I said, brother.
Brother? So, Jemele Hill, you know, most people know, is a sports writer, journalist, and now newscaster for ESPN. She does the 6 o'clock Sports Center with Michael Smith. She's, you know, been kind of tagged as, like, one of the faces of ESPN's network.
Yes.
And she has definitely within the past, probably, I mean, since the election, but I would say within the past 6 months, really turned it up about her.
About social activism.
And Trump.
Yeah.
Like, her social activism, and it's going, because it started with the Colin Kaepernick stuff, and like, and she just goes hard. She goes hard. Right. It's her Twitter. It's not an ESPN Twitter, but she goes hard. Like, she's not cursing, really, but she goes hard. She's very involved with, like, Black Twitter. Like, she, like, you know, she'll put up memes, and, you know, she'll make jokes and stuff, too.
Why,
like,
she and Mike got promoted in the first place.
Yeah, because they had that connection.
Strong social following.
Exactly. So, she put up some tweets about Trump being a horrific president and being unqualified. I'm not quoting verbatim, but basically, like, he's a horrible person. He's an epitome of white privilege, and he's terrible, and we need to, like, do something to get out of here. That caused a brute storm, a firestorm. She didn't get suspended for that. But then, a few days ago, she put up some more tweets talking about, Trump and the Trump's going at the NFL. And she basically said, again, not quoting verbatim, but basically said that, look, there's being too much onus put on the players, and to really
make... She was going at Jerry Jones.
Yeah, to make this thing change, you need to go at the owners. And Jerry Jones, who had just put out a statement saying that any of my players kneeling are not going to play.
Right.
She was like, well, what you need to do to get back at him is to go towards his advertisers.
Right.
Now, she said on her Twitter, and this was a bone of contention that me and Bruh had, we'll discuss further, I'm sure, that she said on her Twitter, I'm not advocating an NFL boycott.
But she said the first thing at night, she said the second thing the day after. She did not tweet those two things back to back.
Well, she was tired. She fell asleep.
She said the first thing at 10 o'clock at night, and she said the second thing the next day.
Well, she had to get up in the morning. So.
But here's the thing. Do you not think that there are any advertisers... Because when you say go after their advertisers, that means, like, you pull your money from their advertisers. And do you think that none of those advertisers also advertise with, if not ESPN, ABC TV?
Absolutely.
So,
absolutely.
In my opinion, Jemele knew she was putting herself on the line.
Okay.
And I'm not saying it's right, but ABC is a huge corporate entity. It's a conglomerate. It's fucking Disney. They are super fucking white bread.
Yes, they are.
So you're already under a microscope. And I respect her, you know, standing by her convictions. It is her Twitter, but we all know that more and more, Jeff got his fist up. We all know that more and more, depending on where you work, like, yeah, I don't know what ESPN or ABC or Disney social media policy is. And that's something that people are looking at now, because ESPN's statement was that for the second time, she broke their social media policy. I don't know what that rule is.
There's a lot of gray in all of this.
Of course.
Like you said, the social media policy, because Jemele's stance initially was, and I'm going to let you go, bro, so I'll see you over there, Ansi. Jemele's social policy was, this sort of thing was, when the first thing happened was like, this is my Twitter. This is not ABC. I'm not saying, it does not say at ESPN Jemele.
But that's easy to say in theory. But when you work for a corporate entity, we've had this conversation before.
It's great.
But when you work for a corporate entity, it all depends on what they say. Because some corporate entities actually have it built in that if you do anything that can disparage the brand or hurt them in any way, even if it's on your personal social media, they can take action.
Did I tell y'all I love Bruno Mars?
let me say this. First of all, I love Jemele and Michael Smith.
I've been following them
for a very long time.
Since the beginning.
Numbers never lie, his and hers, all of that. I actually loved when they did a podcast.
Yeah.
I was really happy. I think I even tweeted out when they got the promotion to SE6. I was like, it feels like, you know, your cousin.
Your cousin made it.
Your cousin made it. They came up now.
How much they paid? Good God Almighty.
To watch TV?
Talk to you about sports?
So, this is in no way. I also follow her on Twitter. She's actually very funny, has a great sense of humor. Okay. And I support her in her activism, and I support her in using her platform to make people aware of things. I also know that in following her on Twitter and in following their careers a little bit, that Jemele is constantly under attack.
Yeah.
Yes.
She is constantly under attack for not only being a woman in sports,
right,
but for being a black woman. Yes. And by black woman, I mean black.
Blackity black.
From Detroit.
With braids
in her hair.
Exactly.
And all
T-shirts with slogans on them.
Yeah. All the black lady facial expressions, the slang. Right? So I get that. And I understand that can be a bit hard to deal with.
Yes.
She's backed off of Twitter a lot. Jemele used to be on there constantly. If you notice, Michael Smith's gone, basically.
Yeah, he checked out right before that come up. Yeah,
he was like, "I'm gonna wipe my hands of this because I can see where this is going."
Now, and I think that's also why they stopped doing the podcast,
because towards
the end of the podcast, they was letting it fly.
Yes, you can start to tell that it was like, yeah, we're not gonna really be able to do this.
So let's get these off now because this is it.
And now I'm gonna say this: Jemele Hill was absolutely wrong, and everyone that has put a battery in her back and pretended to not understand why she was wrong. Listen, you are an employee of a network. They have a policy in place. You did something that went against that policy. They tried to implement a punishment.
Right.
Your people backed you up. Nobody would go on that night.
Right.
They reneged on that.
Right.
ESPN said clearly after that, company-wide memos were sent out again in reference to their policy.
Right.
So this isn't just about somebody who kind of did something. Now you're saying, fuck you and your policy.
Basically, and maybe she's saying it on purpose. You know what I mean? Maybe she could be. But I will say this. I noticed when ESPN sent that statement out that they were careful to say that it was the second offense, which to me says that they are building a case.
Yes.
That if Jemele does the shit again, she's out.
And maybe she don't care. Let me say this. When you say pretending that she didn't say boycott the sponsors is disingenuous.
Is it?
It's absolutely disingenuous, my nigga, and I love you. You're wrong, my nigga.
She said go after their sponsors.
Now, let me be clear about Jerry's sponsors, okay? The Dallas Cowboys
are the top five franchises in the world.
Yeah, I'm saying number one. Yes. So they are the number one valued. Yes. They are the flagship of the NFL.
Right.
Guys, like let's not pretend here. Yeah. Okay? And their sponsors are not some fucking local pizza joint and Carlos's Ford
dealer. Earl's barbecue.
Right. Brother's barbecue. Right. Like, dude, we're talking, first of all, AT&T owns, they pay for naming rights.
Stadium, right?
No, not only do they own the stadium, guess what else AT&T owns? Fucking DirecTV that they pay billions of dollars to.
Yeah.
Then you talk about Bank of America, Dr. Pepper, Snapple Group, Ford Motor Company, Miller and Coors, Pepsi. Right. My nigga, she's talking about gargantuan.
What about Miller's Diner down there on the
but not only that, if you think Jerry Jones can pick up the phone and say to ESPN,
I'm sure that's what
y'all still want access to my shit.
Listen, but here's the thing, Here's the thing. Yeah. Even if he did say all of that, I don't enjoy backing us when we're wrong. Right. And no one is telling her she was wrong.
Yeah.
Jamel was wrong. She was wrong.
Jamel.
When you are in partnerships, because that's what this is.
Right.
This isn't just about employee-employer. This is about mega partnerships. Mm-hmm. I have had partnerships in our contract.
Right.
That we could not disparage of a particular group.
Yeah, I remember you told me about that.
I told you about that.
You told me about that. Yeah, I remember that.
Whether it was personal, whether it was business, you can't say anything. Not that you, and it's not just about that you can't say anything, because there are people who work at ESPN that have found the line that they have been able to teeter on.
Right.
Howard Bryant does it. Bomani does it. Bomani will say with regularity, I'm not touching that.
Yeah.
I'm not fucking with my paper.
Right.
Like, he makes it very clear.
Yeah.
So I'm saying, listen, I get that you want to be on the front line and you want to do these things. And I understand that. And there is a way for you to do that. And you had been doing it up to that point. Right. But when they tell you that, hey, the line is here, guys.
Yeah.
And you gotta adhere to that or say fuck it. I'm not saying.
And maybe she's saying fuck it. But the other thing with this is that, for me, and again, I'm not, like me and Sean both just said, maybe Jamel said fuck it. Maybe she said expressing this is more important than doing the corporate tap dance. And if she did, more fucking power to her. But there is a reason why I haven't posted We Stand With Jamel, because if I were ESPN, I would have suspended her fucking ass too.
I don't think
I might even have agreed with her in principle.
Yes.
But as somebody who's running a company, I'm like, nah, Shawty, you can't be on the air right now. I can't let you rock with that, because you're exposing all
Absolutely.
Of us. I'm going to have fucking Michael Ina calling me in 2 seconds, cussing me the fuck out. Like, what the fuck? You know what I mean? So
now,
it's like,
now,
I go ahead.
I think the suspension might have been a little harsh. Two weeks might have been a little harsh. Right? But
That's damn at Thanksgiving.
But a suspension was necessary. And the fact that what's annoying more than anything is everyone is missing the point and putting this on her statements about Trump and 45 and he being a white supremacist. We are clear on that. We know that there is a difference, guys. And this is what I talked about before. With a lot of you niggas, you're at home and you're running your blogs in your basement.
Right.
Okay? Yeah. So you can do whatever the fuck
you want.
Okay? She is the co-anchor of their flagship program on a fucking billion-dollar network. And guess what?
That's owned by Disney. I just keep having to say that. Owned by Disney.
Like what's crazy to me is that, hey, guys, guess what comes with that paycheck? There is a certain sense of personal responsibility that you have to always be conscious of. You don't get to wild out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. She don't get to go out and be sloppy drunk at a party. I'm not saying that she would. I'm just saying,
but you have to watch yourself.
You have to watch yourself. And I'm not saying that what she did in principle was wrong, but as a part, you work for a corporation. Mm-hmm. If your corporation has a partnership with a movie house, you cannot go out and start saying you need to boycott the movie house.
Yeah, the movie trash. Right.
Not just the movie trash.
Yeah.
Boycott the movie and the sponsors. I don't want you buying no hot dogs. Yeah. I don't want you... Nigga! The
Juju bees.
Right. Oh, dude, nigga, HR is coming, nigga. Yeah. HR is coming.
With some cardboard boxes.
Nigga.
Pack this up.
They might even come to your crib. Yeah, we don't even want to have this talk in the office. Yeah.
Right.
I'm just saying, like, we have to learn to support our people and also call them when they're wrong. And right. She's wrong here.
Right. Shit, I stand.
Not wrong about her principle.
But wrong what she did.
Wrong what she did, and not accepting the fact that you are still an employee. You are representative of ESPN. Right. Dude, when I worked at FedEx, they fucking tell you, yo, you can't be out like drinking and getting shit faced with your ID and your uniform
right.
on.
Yeah.
Right.
Because you repping the
You know what I'm saying? And yes, that's a part of it. You got a blue check, my nigga, because ESPN.
Yeah. And I mean, and I know people are like, you put the tweets on my own and tweets are not representative. That shit, in this day
and age. That shit sounds sexy. You know, niggas, you will not get a job because of tweets, right. Okay? Yeah. You will not get accepted to colleges because of tweets and IG. So yeah, my nigga, you paralegal niggas can sit there and tap dance paralegals. All you want to. Yeah, like my nigga.
You folks whose tweets. Are under a different name, under a different avatar, or you got your picture in your avatar, but don't nobody on Twitter know who the fuck you are, so it don't matter.
Yeah, you can move like that.
You can move like that. Like, that's her government name, nigga. That's her real name and her real picture. Yeah. Like, it's there for a reason.
Alright, well, shit.
Right, I mean, we still fuck with you, Jamel. Yeah,
we fuck with you heavy, but my nigga, because we fuck with you, you were wrong, my nigga. You was wildin'. Listen, you let Black Twitter put a battery in your back, nigga.
And the streets, I think that's my thing. The streets was already hot. Like, the streets was hot as fuck. And I'm not saying you shut the fuck up, but there comes a time where you really gotta measure, do I wanna keep my job? And if I do, it's under these conditions, or is it more important for me to make this statement? And if I do, it comes with these risks. And maybe she weighed that and she was fine with it. I will give a shout out to Michael, who is like, I'm not going to be on the show while she's on suspension.
No, but, he's on the show.
It was the first night.
That was just the first night.
I was about to say, nigga,
listen, and that's another thing, my nigga. Nigga, Michael has a family.
Kids, yeah.
Okay. I know his old lady.
Like, we ain't missing 2 weeks with you, nigga.
You better not mess up that good job. You better go down there.
I like Jamel too, but goddamn it, we got bills to pay. All right. Well, shit, man.
She be wrong, bro. Oh,
man. All right. We'll talk about this Miami Dolphins coach right quick. A couple days ago, this a girl named Kajana. I don't want to say her last name right. Nige.
I think it's
Nige. I'm going to say Nige. If I'm saying it wrong, I apologize. She threw a video out that had a coach for the Miami Dolphins, offensive line coach, Chris Forster, sniffing, I guess, allegedly, cocaine at his desk.
Okay, I guess allegedly.
Yeah, at his desk in the Miami Dolphins headquarters. Oh. He resigned Monday. She said she sent the video out. She said, you know, she partied with him a couple of times for entertainment purposes. So Kajana definitely is, she's an adult entertainer.
Yes.
And she said that she put this out because she was tired of Black players getting shit on in the NFL and nobody knowing how bad coaches and owners are. And she says that she has a ton of videos. This is just the tip of the iceberg. So if he really wants to play games, she could set it off with a bunch of more videos of him sniffing coke. And I think him saying things about the league and the team.
Yeah, and he was like, I'm doing this. I'm about to go into a meeting. Yeah. Whatever. I mean, listen. He resigned. He resigned, right?
Yeah, he's gone.
He resigned. It's whatever. This ain't changed shit that's going on.
It didn't.
The protest. It ain't changed a single picture. It ain't changed a single mind. It ain't really, I feel like she did it for shock value. I feel like she did it to be in the mix. But ultimately, it's not changing anything. Like, This whole NFL shit has, the whole thing has gotten so jumbled and obscured, and the actual issue at hand, which is just to like bring awareness to the injustice that black people face in this country every fucking day, has just gotten lost in the sauce. It's about everything but that. It's about corporate politics, and it's about, you know, owners thinking they own the players.
Jamel having to sit down.
It's about the fucking president, and it's about who can say what. And it's, I mean, which it is about who can say what, but it's, and now you throw this nigga like, okay, a coach is sniffing cocaine. That shit ain't got shit to do with this. Yeah. It ain't got shit to do with this. And I'm just like, all right, girl, you got your moment, and, you know, whatever, well, but what it ain't got shit to do with this.
I hope she planned accordingly, because she won't be having any more benefactors.
Yeah, because they can't trust her.
Because now they can't trust you.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, look,
it the felt O-line, like blackmail gone wrong.
Yeah, and I mean, look.
I mean, maybe not.
She says she 2 months along and facing a high-risk pregnancy.
I'll put it to you like this.
That's what she said. She said she's pregnant. With child.
If the Miami Dolphins was 5-0, leading their division, he would have gone to rehab.
Right.
He would have gone away to rehab. Yeah. They would have said, hey, you know.
Well, that's kind of her point.
They didn't allow any sacks. You know, they were leading the league in rushing. The O-line was doing great. His ass would have been. I mean, this is a part of. Listen, if you think that this guy is the only person who is snorting cocaine, right, I assure you, you can go to Wall Street and find
residue. I'm sure it's supposed to be on the Dolphins snorting cocaine.
Nigga, you can go to. I'm saying you can go to corporate anywhere USA.
And they're getting busy.
Dude that's in the office putting in 16-hour days, and he's always jumping and going and moving.
How you think, bro?
He's hitting them lines, okay, in the office at 6 a.m. before you guys get in there.
Exactly. And then again, about 7:30, we're going to leave up out of there.
Exactly.
To keep it going.
So, I mean, I'm not moved. I mean, she did that to, I mean, he resigns. The man was making $2.5 million a year. So that also tells me that his bread is pretty decent. Yeah. Like, he's not going to be hurting.
And you know what? He'll get another job. He'll go to rehab. He'll come out. He'll, you know, talk about it. He'll go away for a year. Fox Sports or something like that and talk about his problems.
This is what you do, man. You go away for a year, and then you go get you a coaching gig. Get you a mid-level college gig. Nothing too big. You make you a couple $100,000 a year, do well, and this will be 3 years removed, and you go
back up. Exactly. Right. So, you know, I just thought that was just kind of an interesting story. I want to talk about, I guess we could end it with, I feel like I'm forgetting something. Oh, piece of Shannon Sharp, man.
Right.
Because he's just awesome.
Oh. You know I thought you were going to talk about Weinstein.
No, I am. I just wanted to say peace to Shannon.
Nah, but, well, look.
Nah, here we go. Come on, bro. Don't do that now. Don't do it.
I'm saying this because I said it about Jamel.
Don't do it.
This is an equal saying shit show. Love Shannon. Fucks with Shannon.
He's
doing a little bit too much, and it's starting to feel a little caricaturish, my nigga. It's feeling very... Like, first of all, Shannon's brand is his body.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Shannon's brand is his health, his notoriously incredible health regimen.
Mm-hmm.
Shannon ain't sipping yak and smoking miles.
But that's kind of the joke, that he's not.
Okay. But, you know, it just feels, listen, I don't like the word cooning, and I'm not saying he is. I can't really think of the right word to articulate
he's just joshing.
It don't feel like it. It feel like he doing this in front of company.
Yes.
And it ain't who he is. And what I'm saying is,
no, he's from Glenville, Georgia.
What I'm saying is, it ain't who he is. If you got the cousin, and that's who he is, and he acting like that in front of company, then that's fucking what it is. Sorry about that.
He turned his phone for that. But here's the other thing, right? Once again, it's the same shit with Jamel, like. Black Twitter, will take somebody and hype them all the way up. We've done it with Angela Rye. We've done it with Jamel. done with Shannon. Like, we do it with everybody. Mm-hmm. And it's great because we love our people when they're really out there stepping out. Mm-hmm. Shit, we did it with Maxine Waters. Not that Maxine is getting online or anything, but we really are, you know, black people will hype anybody to fuck up. Like, oh, shit.
The moment we feel like
people
you,
in the memes,
and you get it. And yeah. We feel like you get it. And Shannon gets it. I don't mean to cut you off, but
then, yeah, but then I think it puts you in a position, and I mean, I don't know because I'm not a public personality like that, but I wonder if it doesn't put you in a position where you feel like you just have to keep doubling down. Keep, like, I ain't noticed Shannon Sharp this active on Twitter before fucking 2 months ago.
No,
I didn't. Well, he comments on everything.
Well, he got more active on Twitter once the show started, Undisputed.
Right.
And then he's definitely, like, you know, the Black and Miles and stuff. But if you watch the show, and I don't know if either one of you ever watched the show, but, like, he's wild political on the show.
Yeah,
the show.
No, he was last year, too.
Yeah, but he's even turned up more.
Well, I don't watch the show because I think I just... Like, to me, Skip Bayless is trash. Like, I would never watch.
You don't watch Skip.
I just don't think he's good at anything.
Yeah.
And
he's still doing the same shit.
Shit
about LeBron.
But that's my point. Like, entertaining to me.
But Shannon really steps up. Like, he was the first and really kind of one of the only athletes to really step out there about the Colin Kaepernick thing from the door.
And also, too, let me say this. Shannon, this isn't something new. There's a clip, and I couldn't find it, but I remember it, when Ray Lewis had gotten off the murder charge,
mm-hmm.
and he was being, I'll never forget it, he was at a press table, and he was being hounded by reporters.
Ray was.
And Shannon came over there, because Shannon's like a big brother mm-hmm. at this point. Ray's mm-hmm. still very young. And he came over there and protected him like a fucking bear.
Really?
And was like getting on them reporters, like, yo, y'all make sure y'all ask him about this. And you make sure, you know, you don't, he was not guilty. And make sure you print that and all of that sort of stuff. I really tried to go find that clip, mm-hmm. but I remember when it happened. So Shannon and being conscious
yeah.
about how the press will angle shit mm-hmm. right. is nothing new. And I think he's a bright guy. I think he's definitely a sharp is. Guy. And I think he's a funny guy. I just feel like this is...
The Black and Miles thing.
I feel like this is a bit of a show.
It
and
is.
I don't... And I'm at the uncomfortable point. I'm not at the, yo, I'm out point. But I'm at the... I'm at the tapping you on your knee. Like, is this nigga... You know, like... Is he doing that?
Threw a bag of ice on the table Monday. So anyway, I like it. To further prove.
You also watch TV One, eating cheese doodles, and Chips Ahoy.
Well, I don't let all them narcotics go now. You know that junk food
and your slides and your
yeah.
Socks.
I wouldn't have my slides is on. I ain't cheese doodles and the Chips Ahoy no more. But my slides is on. I'm eating grapes and pineapple chunks, but I am watching TV One. They got a new movie coming on soon. I'm looking forward to. But anyway, let's talk about this. End up real quick with this. Harvey Weinstein story. So Harvey Weinstein was he was one of the most dominant producers in Hollywood history, to be honest. You know, he mm-hmm. was like, you know, he could stack up with any of the, you know, kind of old time greats. Yeah,
yeah.
His stats are unbelievable. He produced The Crying Game and Pulp Fiction and The English Patient yeah. and Shakespeare in Love and King's Speech and Good Will Hunting and like
I read that he's the second most thanked person in Oscars history behind Spielberg and ahead of God.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like, I believe that.
Yep.
I believe that. So he, always been rumors of him doing sexual harassment.
Well, he's always been a horrible character. Like,
yeah.
He, like, just as in general.
Horrible person.
Yeah, just a horrible person. Like,
yeah.
he's always been known to be bullish.
Yeah.
And, like, real Debo.
And,
you know, just very, like, I'm in your face.
Yeah.
I'm screaming at you.
Yeah,
I'm cutting
you on
out.
You. Yeah,
I'm trashing.
Saying, yeah.
If I don't like you, I'm trashing
yeah,
your
I'm
reputation.
Yeah, I'm throwing my food against the wall if
yeah,
I don't like
all,
it.
All
that
shit.
Yeah.
And that also carried over into his behavior with women, and it was an open joke. Like
that he was getting down like
yeah,
that.
Like somebody even pointed out, there was a joke made a few years ago during the Oscar, you know, when they announced the Oscar nominees.
Uh-huh.
Like they announced the five best actress nominees, and whoever the announcer was is like, and these five women no longer have to pretend they're attracted to Harvey Weinstein.
Wow.
Like that's in
yeah.
the nomination thing.
Known
yeah.
how he moves.
Yeah, and there was like some other joke in like 30 Rock about, you know, somebody saying they were drunk and but still remember one Thanksgiving being pinned under Harvey Weinstein. Like, you know, like it was an open
joke. Thing.
Yeah.
So these is Rose McGowan and a couple other actresses have constantly Ashley Judd and
Gwyneth Paltrow, which surprised me because she comes from a Hollywood family.
Yeah.
Angelina Jolie, which also surprised me because she comes from a Hollywood family.
Yeah, Mira Sorvino.
Yep.
Roseanne Arquette, who comes from a Hollywood family. Yep. And Mira Sorvino. Her dad is Paul Sorvino. So, like, it wasn't like you just, you know, just fresh off the boat from Des Moines, Iowa.
And then a few, like, assistants.
Yeah.
Some, you know, aspiring actresses who didn't make it, but, like, have come forward about his casting couch tactics.
Yeah, so Ronan...
Mia Farrow's son,
who allegedly is also Frank Sinatra's son.
Oh, I did know that rumor.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah. And if you look at him, you see it. He looks like a young Frank.
He does look like a young Frank.
But that's a whole sidetrack. Mm-hmm. So anyway, he broke this story.
He writes for the New Yorker.
Yeah, he offered it to NBC.
The New York Times broke it first.
But he offered it to NBC and they turned it down.
I don't know about that.
Something like that.
The New York Times broke it first. He came behind them and expanded it.
Yeah, with more
detail. But apparently... several people have been trying to work on this story for a long time.
Yeah.
And it kept getting killed because people wouldn't go on record.
Yeah, and Harvey would find out and threaten people. Yeah.
And Harvey has ironclad contracts with people that he's settled with out of court.
Yes,
you know,
can't
like
say
that
nothing.
Type of thing, so he can't say nothing.
Yeah.
But now, I guess with just the overall culture changing, most people were still off record in these stories.
Yeah, yeah.
I saw Ronan
interviewed last night on Rachel, and he was talking about that, how he's like, yo, for every person who talked, and it was like a whole gang of people
who
wouldn't talk or would maybe start to talk and then pull and be like, nah, I can't do it.
Or only do it anonymously, right?
Yeah, yeah. You see even some people trying to do anonymous, but nah, fuck it, I can't do it.
Right, because Harvey's reach is so crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy. He said, Ronan said that they was threatening him.
Yeah.
A few times.
So there's, and also, like, with a man like, and this is paramount in the conversation about why people don't come forward with sexual harassment and abuse allegations against powerful men, like against like a Cosby, against even a Trump, like anybody who's ever tried to come at Trump for anything legally. When people have all kinds of money to throw at legal teams, and they can put together whole ass legal teams that would love nothing more than to just keep you in court, just drag it out until you give up. Like that's all they're trying to do is just drag it out until you give up.
And then when you give up, you're broke.
Yeah,
you probably owe lawyers a bunch of money you ain't got.
Yeah,
you know you might have lost your gig by then.
Word.
You've been out of work. It's like
you're a pariah.
Yeah, exactly. And you got the Scarlet X.
It's
on
very
you.
Easy to be like, nah, I'm not fucking with it. And that was one of the things that that Harvey was really good at.
Yeah.
But finally
they got
the story is all these stories of harassment, and then inside of that three accusations of actual rape, two of forced oral sex, and one of actual like penetration and rape. And Harvey went from and one recorded conversation which Ronan broke in his piece
of a
woman who actually was trying who actually went to the police, and the police had her on wire. And she was talking to Harvey. Harvey was trying to get... And I mean, it's really disturbing to listen to because she's standing in the hallway of Harvey's hotel room.
Mm-hmm.
He's trying to get her to come in.
Yeah.
And he's literally like, listen, I'm really famous. Can you just... you can tell he's exasperated by even having to...
Like, what are you doing?
My friend's coming in a minute. If you want to leave me, can you just come in, please? Like, just come in. And she's like, but you grabbed my breast yesterday. He's like, look, whatever. I'm sorry. I'm used to that. Just... She's like, you're used to it. He's like, can you just come in?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
5 minutes. You don't want to... And he literally says, you don't want to ruin a friendship with me over 5 minutes. So you could just hear the entitlement of this guy, right? Not to mention he's always been married. Like, he's on his second marriage or third or something like that.
Always been married
through all of this. And right now, he's married to Georgina Marchesa, you know, of the fashion house Marchesa. But, like, you could just tell with a lot of these guys, especially powerful executives or entertainers, people always say that rape and harassment, it's not about whether or not you can get the ass. It's just about power. It's just about control. It's just about not being the type of person, being able to qualify yourself as not the type of person who has to take a no.
Yeah.
And this is what all these dudes have.
I bet he probably barely remembers
what he was even doing? I'm sure.
Because it wasn't about the woman. It was, it was about the power. Like, I bet someone would probably come to him and be like, yo, you grabbed my tits one time.
He'd be like, what? Be like,
who are you?
Yeah.
You
know what I'm saying? Like, and I mean, the women have actually said that, like, one woman locked herself in a hotel bathroom, like, all kinds of shit. And the women have said that they will repeatedly be like, No. And it's like that nigga just didn't hear it.
No, he
had
it.
No concept of what the word meant. And that is what this is always about. It's about the power. And, you know, in light of this, Harvey's people went from saying, this is laughable. It's all bullshit. To then like, okay, I know I've done some things that were kind of out of hand. I know my behavior is a little brutish. Like I'm trying to learn. I'm a dinosaur, whatever. But I've thought these relationships were consensual, to them being like, no, y'all, just let me go to sex rehab, which he's doing now, go to sex rehab and whatever.
He said today he was suicidal for a minute, and
yeah, the police were called to his daughter's house.
And I believe he might have been suicidal because his entire everything has been taken away. They fired him from his company. Like, that's crazy. Like, it's good, but it's crazy that the board.
But you know what? But you know what? This is just going to be a bigger version of what we said is going to happen with that offensive line coach.
Right.
He'll go to some type of rehab. He'll, you know, lay low for a minute. He'll pop back out. He'll write the book. He'll do the interview.
But his power.
No, his power won't be the same. No, his power won't be the same. But he'll start making these little indie films.
Right.
And like, you know what? I just, you know, got back in touch with my creativity, and I'm just, and all of a sudden, like, in 3 to 5 years' time, if he's living that long, because he doesn't seem in shape.
Right.
But if he gets his shit together, in 3 to 5 years' time, we're going to be watching the Oscars, and he's going to win an award for some little indie film.
Maybe.
And get a standing ovation on that stage.
Let me tell you why I'm not 100% sure on that. Because for as much people there are that
I know
they gave it to Roman Polanski, but let's also be mindful of the fact that the climate has changed very much. So just the fact that they actually fired him instead of suspending him.
The climate has shifted.
The fact that they actually fired him, his own brother was against him.
Well, they hate each other.
Right. The fact that the board actually fired him rather than just saying, go to rehab and we'll figure it out when you get back.
Well, it's too much heat. The board didn't, and that's the thing. The board was left no choice.
Right.
Because when they had a choice and when they had an option, they simply, you know, made payouts a line item in their budget.
Right. Yeah. Like,
and they enabled him. They enabled him. That entire board.
They did.
Enabled him.
And the company culture was such that, like, I've had to have some business dealings with the Weinstein Company over the past year. And even though it wasn't anything remotely like this, I could just tell the culture there was very, first of all, it was like, women, who the fuck cares? Like, it was very, like, whatever. It was very dismissive. But it's also very, like, well, Harvey said. So.
It is what it is.
So, and having to fight that. But I will say, to your point, Sean, the board had no choice because the climate has changed. And for as many people who were endeared to Harvey, they praised Harvey and supported Harvey because they needed Harvey on their side. And with Harvey's power gone, I don't know that he gets that reentry into the Hollywood elite, or at least not that soon, because the other reason this story happened is because Harvey, and somebody said this in one of these stories, and I agree because I saw him Oscar weekend. Harvey has diminished in size. He seems older. He doesn't feel as powerful. He doesn't intimidate people the same way when he walks into a room. Mm-hmm. Just his sheer presence.
Yeah, well, as I said, now he was ranked fourth most powerful man in Hollywood a few years ago. Now, like, when this happened, he's down to 200.
Right, his power is waning.
Because there's a lot of new money in there. There's tech people and all sort of shit and a lot of
So his power's been waning, which makes
but you know what, though?
Right,
he's put as, and I'm not trying to say this in any way to justify his horrible behavior.
Mm-hmm.
He's put too many people on and made too many people rich for them not to give him another shot at some point.
They will give him another shot, and here's why. Because they have those closets
full of
skeletons. Right. And they know that at any point, they could be in Harvey's shoes.
This is true.
And they may need to come back.
They're pulling up footage on Ben Affleck now.
And so what? So the issue here is, and let me say this, has the culture changed because, or did the fact that the press, let this go, and it sort of caught wildfire? Because if I'm not mistaken, there were rumblings, you know, 2013, 2014.
Well, a few people said that they were trying to do, that they were actively trying to do stories and the stories got killed. I will say this. I don't necessarily know that the mindset of the people who perpetrate this foolishness has changed, but the ability to assume that you're going to get away with it. Like, yes, like there was probably Harvey at some point probably was like, what the fuck is the big deal? You know what I mean? Like, that attitude of like,
I got
that part has changed.
Yeah, I don't know if that part has even changed. Like I said, like, sadly, this is how Hollywood moves.
It's not just Hollywood.
Yeah, this is right.
That's the other thing.
It's corporate America.
It's corporate America.
It's entertainment.
Yes. Yes. Your
it's media. It's all of
your executive assistants that are making $75K down on Wall Street are dealing with the same shit.
Any male dominated industry.
Yes. Yeah. And that's really what I wanted to say. Like, what's scary about this was that one man wielded so much power that not only did he make these women feel, you know, small and meek and feel like they had to, you know, sort of acquiesce to his, you know, advances and do whatever, right? But he also made people who were also powerful feel like they can't rock the boat.
Yeah.
And they can't. And that's the shit that's like mind blowing.
Yeah.
And so you have to wonder, like, how much of this is people co-signing this, how much of this is people, and again, I always, like I said on the last, you know, couple episodes, like, a lot of us get on soapboxes about things because it's easy for us to be on the outside looking in and comment about what we would and would not tolerate.
What I
would
have did it.
Okay, because I promise you, you know, Charlene, that sits across from you, deals with the same shit when she's in the copy room, which is why she don't want to go make copies no more.
Exactly.
Okay?
And Because fucking clients got to
exactly.
As soon as you see her going there.
Exactly. Exactly. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I'm just sort of like blown away. The New Yorker piece was, if anyone is interested, it's super long, but it's incredibly detailed.
Mm-hmm.
And it gives really a sort of blow-by-blow of the type of person that he is, and he's just a bad person. He's
an
awful, awful, horrible person.
Yeah.
And that's just I don't feel any sadness about
that.
Nah,
me either.
I don't. You know, I mean, this is what happens. I mean, if you lose everything, you know, what are they
gonna
do?
You got caught. Yeah.
Yeah, that's it.
So that's it. We're in on Weinstein. We're gonna wrap it up, and we'll see y'all next week.
And that's what's popping in the world of entertainment. Thank you for listening to the Pop Life Podcast with Jeffrey, Naima, and Sean. Want to be a part of the show? We've got three ways you can get involved. Like us on Facebook. Send us your burning questions to poplifepodcast@gmail.com. And follow us on Twitter @Pop Life Podcast. Talk to you next week.